And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This program is brought to you by Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, America's favorite encouragement and sympathy cards. You can go to gracefully-yours.com today and enjoy 25% off all of your greeting card purchases. Just put in the words book 3, that's B-O-O-K 3, and you'll get 25% off. Hey, our very special guest today is licensed life therapist and now author Kara Bowman. She's written an eloquent book called Heartbreak to Hope, Poems of Support for Grief and Loss. Kara, welcome to Success Made to Last.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, the reason for having you on is to kind of get down to the heart of the matter with grief. And we want to talk about how you can grow through grief. And I know everyone's journey is very individual. Let's start, though, with your own backstory and how you have suffered through grief and climbed out of the abyss.
I definitely have. So I became a therapist in midlife, and I became a therapist because I wanted to help others. And I immediately was drawn to grief and trauma. I have advanced certifications in grief and trauma, and that's my entire practice. And the reason is, in midlife, I went through a five-year period where I lost loved ones to murder, to suicide, to an accident, two people to cancer, and someone to Lou Gehrig's disease. And I was flattened and felt like it was another graduate school where I had to learn what to do. I had to learn how to support myself. I had to learn how to find my way out of the abyss. And once I had learned that, and I had hope because I had come by it in my own life, I wanted to share that with others. I wanted to share the visceral understanding of what they were going through because I knew what they were feeling. And I wanted to share how I came upon hope, or at least hold the hope for others so that they could hold some hope for themselves.
Wow. In that short five-year period of time, you experienced such a range of emotion, as you just mentioned, from losses that were from suicide, Lou Gehrig's disease, and cancer. And I know you can't force rank loss, but tell us about, were those emotions equal?
Yes. No, it's a very good question. I don't know that you can ever rank pain or compare one loss to another. So each loss is different. And I like to think of each death as having a lot of different losses in it. So you might lose with a spouse, you might lose the person who makes your coffee, the person who you're going to retire with, the person who you told your problems to. With a certain friend, you might lose somebody who has memories of your college years that nobody else holds. So each loss is really different, and each death is very different too. Sometimes there's trauma from the death, and sometimes they're not. And it depends on the age of the person who's died too. There are a lot of different factors that go into how we grieve and what we're grieving.
Well, how can you help a patient heal from multiple deaths that layer the pain?
Right. Well, there is something called complicated grief where people have a hard time finding their way out on their own. And that's grief that's much more prolonged or intense than normal. And so those people do probably need professional help. But in general, we don't do grief well as a culture. So when people are grieving, they're having to learn how to grieve at the same time they're grieving. And so it's something like, being told to go play soccer when you don't know the rules and somebody's yelling the rules from the sideline, but you're actually playing the game. So people are often in that situation in our culture because it's not something that's talked about, it's not something that's modeled, and it's not something we have a lot of good rituals for, and that is compounded with COVID. Even the few supports we do have can be gone during COVID. So there are things people can do. One thing I like to talk to people about is feeling a balance between three different things. One is feeling the feelings of grief. One is distracting yourself from the feelings because it's okay not to feel at times. And one is replenishing, and that's anything that fills your emotional gas tank. So it might be talking to a friend. It might be meditating or taking a bath. So I like to talk to people about keeping those three things in balance. And usually when I mention those, they can immediately see where they're spending a little too much time or a little, they need to spend a little more time.
And what do you say to our audience who, especially during COVID-19, never got closure for some of their loved ones because absent were funerals or memorial services?
Right. So the question then changes from, you know, people think that they have to have something in order to process their grief. And the question then changes to, can you be okay? What are you going to do with not having that in your life, the thing that you thought you wanted? And you can either look backward and desperately try to have a redo of something to which there is no redo, or you can look forward and say, where am I going to go from here? And I actually could share a poem that speaks directly to that, if that's okay.
Please do.
It's called Your Life. What are you going to do now with your house? The foundation has crumbled. Are you going to let it decay while time and weather carry it toward the graves? Or are you going to rebuild more magnificently a palace that wouldn't have been possible without the footprint of the one that came before? So that's kind of the question that people are facing. I'm not able to grieve as I want to. So how am I going to grieve, given what I do have?
And that house that you speak of is probably a metaphor for starting over again, but we'll never forget.
That's beautifully put. They no longer talk about healing from grief or getting through grief. They now talk about taking your loved one and changing your relationship to your loved one, but taking your loved one with you into the future. So that's the model for grief have come to represent what people actually do. And that's what people do. They don't forget. They don't get over. They just reposition the person in their heart.
Kara, you're talking to a greeting card writer here and a designer. And we used to have a thanatologist on our team about 20 years ago. That was Connie Owens. And thanks to Connie for teaching us what she taught us. And what Connie would tell us back then was that people that have that experience a loss in their life are mad at God for months after the person passes away. And what would you say is that 2021 version of that same commentary of don't put scripture and cliches in front of people that have just experienced loss?
It can offend. You're one of the few people who knows the word thanatology, I have to say. I have a certification in thanatology, and I'll explain that that's the study of death and dying. Yes, it's true that you don't know how somebody's doing spiritually, so you don't want to make assumptions. And some things that sound like they can be comforting might not be comforting to a particular person at a particular time. Just simply saying, I'm sorry. And I think more than that, giving the person a space to talk about whatever is going on for them. There's a Swedish saying, a proverb that says, joy shared is a double joy. Sorrow shared is half a sorrow. And I think people who are grieving more than anything want permission to grieve out loud. And often family and friends don't want to bring it up because they think that it's going to be hard for the person to talk about, or they think the person is maybe over it. They don't want to remind them, which is pretty ridiculous, given how long our culture thinks that people should be grieving. I can give you another poem that speaks to holding people's pain, holding your own pain and holding the pain of others. It's called Love. Take good care of your precious pain. Take good care of your precious pain. Wrap your strong arms around it. Hold it against your warm chest. Rock it gently, telling it softly that it is loved. It is needed. It is important. It makes perfect sense. And love it just as it is in all of its agonizing beauty.
Wow. That is so powerful. Precious pain. I think you just flipped the lexicon of grieving with what sounds like a new oxymoron. But nobody really hugs pain, do they?
That's true. We don't know how to do that as a culture, and that's the key thing that people need to learn. In grief, pain is something they need to feel, and if they feel it, that emotions do pass, they do subside in time. It's the people who don't feel it who keep their grief stuck for years, or I've treated people who've even kept it stuck for decades.
Kara, we've had at least 6 shows on the loss of children and the grieving process. Please share a poem on this particular topic.
Okay. Well, there are every loss is individual, and there are some commonalities. If you lose a child, there are a lot of really, really difficult things. One piece is that no matter the age of the child, a parent feels like their primary responsibility is to protect their child, and what's more basic than protecting their life. So even though the parent probably had nothing to do with the death, it can feel like you failed in your most basic duty. There are also questions about deaths that are out of order. We like to think of the older generation dying first, and it can really bring into question big issues of is life fair, which can bring in spiritual issues too. And then a lot of it has to do with your own life's purpose. If your life's purpose is to raise children and have relationships with your children and your grandchildren, then losing a child can really change that piece. So I'll share a poem that was actually inspired by a mother who had lost her daughter. It's called My Heart. A gaping wound pierces my heart in the shape of my beloved. Someday it will scab over. Someday, far, far in the future, it will turn into scar tissue. I will rub it, and it will be soft and smooth and comforting. It will be with me in the shape of my love for as long as I live.
Whew. Never heard it said so well expressed. So you write with such depth and vision. Would you mind reciting that particular poem again?
Certainly. And I'll share that this woman actually pictured that she had a scar of her daughter on her heart shaped like her daughter. So it's called My Heart. A gaping wound pierces my heart in the shape of my beloved. Someday it will scab over. Someday, far, far in the future, it will turn into scar tissue. I will rub it, and it will be soft and smooth and comforting. It will be with me in the shape of my love for as long as I live.
So for those of you listeners out there considering the field of therapy, hear how Kara is expressing herself with such deep empathy. So her book is Heartbreak to Hope, and we think that the mark of a fine book is when you return to it often and ponder the power of the words. That's what Heartbreak to Hope is to us. It's a life source. It's an oasis of sorts. And you're obviously quite effective as a poet, and I think that your poetry is near Elizabeth Barrett Browning level. And perhaps poetry is the breakthrough language for grieving and hope. Why do you believe in poetry as this international timeless language?
Well, what's funny is I really didn't before I started this book. I kept seeing clients and recommending books, and they would buy the books, and the books would sit on their nightstands, or they would try to read the books, and they wouldn't have any bandwidth. They just didn't have the attention span when they were grieving or stressed to read. So what I wanted to do was capture little vignettes, little pieces of grief in bite-sized chunks that people could absorb when they were grieving. So that's why I chose poetry. Poetry also always speaks directly to emotions without being mediated by thought. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's a really useful medium in grieving.
Well, and what advice would you give to our budding poets who listen to this show, especially when it comes to words and meter and other writing tactics?
I don't have a long history as a poet, so I'm not sure I can give a lot of advice in that way. I tried to make my poems very accessible because I know some people like poetry that they need to interpret, but to get a wider audience, I thought I needed poetry that was pretty obvious in what it was saying. I've been given the advice that on is take all extraneous words out. So my poems started longer and they tended to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And I kept asking myself, what am I trying to say here? What do I want to get across? And I took out all extraneous words. So a little bit of poetry advice, probably all I've got.
I wish I could take extraneous words out of this podcast.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're doing a different job.
Okay, Kara, let's close on this. We once had Mike Berenstain of the Berenstain Bears, son of Stan and Jan, on the show. And Stan and Jan had written and illustrated, along with their son, so many Berenstain Bears books and have sold over 350 million copies. And I asked Mike on the interview, what are some of the toughest topics that they've ever handled? And how did they do? And he talked about a book that they wrote on death. And it didn't do really well, and they pulled the book. So final question for you is, why is death still denied and not talked about amongst young kids and even old kids to boot?
In my mind, it's part of our larger culture. Emotions are kind of denied in our culture, and what is more emotional than grief? We give people 3 days off of work if a close family member dies, and nothing for a close friend or someone who might have been in your heart. So it's kind of a denial of our emotionality in general. And then when people start hiding their emotions, then they hide their grief. Then when we're grieving, we don't know what to do. It becomes an uncomfortable subject. It becomes something we don't talk about. So that's a good story about a book that didn't sell because of the subject matter when their other books sell so well. And it tends to be something that people don't turn their attention to until they themselves are grieving. It's easier to push away, to deny, not think about.
Well, I believe Kara's book, Heartbreak to Hope, will answer the burning question on how to grieve. It will open up big windows for you folks. Karen, how do our listeners purchase Heartbreak to Hope?
Well, right now it's available on Amazon. Within a week or two, it'll be available in bookstores everywhere.
And what if our listeners want you to be their therapist? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm generally my practice is full. I do have a website if you'd like to see some other things I've written about grief therapy. And that's karabowman.com. It's my name, KaraBowman.com. So they can look up my website and see what I've said on about grief and trauma and COVID. I actually have an article about COVID.
Very good. Karen, it's been an honor to have you on the show. I want to have you back on again so you can answer some callers' questions and extend your accessibility.
I'd love to do that.
Congrats on your book. This may be one of the most significant things that you ever do to reach out to so many people in your career and to help them during dark, sad situations. And I'm grateful for the difference that you made with our show today and with your book, Heartbreak to Hope. Thank you, Kara Bowman.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for using this time to talk about grief. It was very needed.
That was the one and only Kara Bowman. We appreciate her being on our Success Made to Last show today and talking about her wonderful book and how it can help you. And thanks again to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards. You can go to gracefully-yours.com to purchase all of your encouragement and sympathy card needs. And we appreciate their longstanding support. And just by listening to this show, you can get 25% off any of your greeting card purchases. Just put in the words book 3, that's B-O-O-K 3, at the point of transaction, and you'll enjoy a 25% savings. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us on the show. As we always say, may you move from ordinary to extraordinary. Have a great week.